Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, concerned about the social system in which I'm raising my children, looking at the decline of the family, faith, freedom in the 21st century, but also the economy. Our economic situation, the worst since 1967, at least as far as unemployment is concerned. Per FoxNews.com this morning, the U6, the government U6 unemployment index now at 15.6%. That's as bad as it's been since 1967. John Williams from ChattoStats.com puts it at 19.8%. Folks, a lot of dads out there are looking at a better economic situation for their families, and we want to create a healthy oikonomia, a vision for our own family, our own children, and for those that are listening to the program, oikonomia being economics, or oikos being the household, nomi being law or vision. The basic economic unit is the household, and we're trying to reestablish the basic economic unit not as the individual, but as the household, as the family in the 21st century. And a lot of dads are looking for more freedom to own and operate their own businesses. And this is all part of it. They want to incorporate their families into their businesses. Hard to do in a family fragmenting age where education, economics, politics, everything has fragmented the family. But then you have fathers out there running out with utopian dreams trying to reestablish a biblical oikonomia, a biblical economic vision for their family. They buy a farm, they run that bad boy into the ground and bankrupt their families. And then the failure produces a bunch of disillusionment, bitterness, sometimes even divorce. And so the end result is an implosion, a family implosion. So, and it's not always as pretty as it looked on the entrepreneurship seminar brochure. Well, folks, you might sense the call from God to own your own business and see some benefit in it for your family, but that spiritual willpower to just accomplish that must be tempered by wisdom, good sense, timing, hard work, and availability of godly business counsel. You see, you might actually have some inner-city Chinese immigrant who works his rear end off in some hole-in-the-wall restaurant, and he's far more successful than some waspy homeschooling patriarch who can't seem to get his business off the ground. So what gives? You might also have some 40-hour-a-week corporate dad who's doing way better managing his household than some workaholic entrepreneur that's doing the 90-hour weeks and can't seem to bring wisdom to bear in the process as he manages his household. So, folks, again, we're trying to establish a biblical vision for the home, a biblically ordered home, and that includes some degree of reintegration of the family in a fragmented age. But how do you do it? How do you do it? Some people with their present financial state, their mental and emotional conditioning, their outlook and mindset are simply not prepared to have their own business. Just got to deal with that fact. Everybody's on a different journey in terms of establishing strong households, a godly vision for their homes, and for hopefully reestablishing a biblical social system and a biblical economic system in the 21st century. We're on a different journey to accomplish that, and some of us may fail in the process. Well, today we want to talk about failure. We have some experts we're going to talk to about failure. Jeff Moore has worked with literally hundreds of entrepreneurs over 20 years. And Jeff is going to join me in just a moment on Generations to talk about failure. Failure is your friend, but you got to learn from it. We'll be back in just a moment on Generations to talk about economics from a biblical perspective. This is Kevin Swanson. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Today talking about something very, very near and dear to my heart, and that is the reestablishment of oikonomia, biblical family integrated economic system. And my vision is that we have hundreds of thousands of families that reintegrate the family and hopefully gain a little more freedom in entrepreneurism. And that's coming back, I believe, in this generation. And with me to talk about this is Jeff Moore. He's a father of seven. He himself has been involved in entrepreneurism and building his own businesses for years and years. He's been the mentor of hundreds, literally hundreds of entrepreneurs over the last 20 years. And I think no exaggeration has contributed to hundreds of millions of dollars of success in those entrepreneurs that he has mentored. Jeff, a welcome to the Generations Broadcast, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. We're honored to be here and able to share with your audience today.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, I want to appeal a little bit to your experience in establishing from the bottom up an entrepreneurial vision in homes across America. I know that you have been doing that since you were in Alaska, and then you moved down to Texas, and you have worked with literally hundreds of folks. Is it thousands? I mean, I know there's been a lot of people that you have worked with over the years. And you've learned some lessons.
We've learned a lot of them the hard way, unfortunately, and some of them we learned by observing other people and listening to our mentors. But The ones we learned the hard way are really not necessary today. People do that by choice.
Yeah. I mean, people fail. I mean, that's just, you have seen people fail.
Yes, we have. We've probably seen more business failures than we have successes.
Yeah.
And patterns set up over a period of time. You see a pattern for success and a pattern for failure in many different arenas, many different businesses. It doesn't really matter what kind of a business it is. It matters the pattern that you choose has to be a pattern of success.
And here's the $100,000 question. No, make that the $100 million question. Why do people fail?
Well, now that's quite an interesting question, and we probably could talk about that again and again. But I think I have selected maybe three of the victim getters out there, reasons that people fail. One of them is they have a lack of knowledge of business itself, but certainly of the business that they're going into. They didn't do enough scouting, enough market research, the trends, the fashions and the time. They don't get good godly Christian counsel from experts in the chosen field. A lot of times we have men that we work with. They're good Christian men who want to advise us on business, but they have no business background in that particular field, and so they really shouldn't be given advice there, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't take general principle advice from them, but we should seek expert advice.
Yeah.
And the need for mentorship is it's invaluable.
Right.
Most people go out on their own, and unless they get a franchise, Kevin, they don't have any guidance at all in a business, so they're just really playing the lottery, hoping somehow we'll make it because God loves us, and that isn't necessarily true, as we've seen. Another reason, number two on the list, I would say, is a lack of funding. They try to, their appetite is too big in the beginning, and it's because they have a lack of knowledge there. So, you know, people borrow money to go into an endeavor where they have no knowledge, really, of business, and that is an absolute formula for failure.
You know, as you talk about this, I think of the guy who wants to have his own family business, so he invests $500,000 in a 40-acre farm in Missouri. He's into it for $450,000 of debt, and he didn't know anything about farming. Never farmed in his life. His father never farmed. His grandfather never farmed. He's never been mentored in farming. And after 2 years, he's belly up, and his family is frustrated, and they're out of cash. I mean, that's not unusual.
That is not. That's more common than a success in that area, and it's because he had no knowledge of farming. It wasn't a tradition been passed on by the family. There was no mentorship involved. It was on borrowed money. And without the knowledge of how the cycles work in business, people that are on borrowed money with no reserve don't have anything to carry them through the lean times, and there will be lean times.
Right.
There's going to be times of abundance, but there's going to be lean times. And so that's I call that, Kevin, insufficient character for the journey.
Yeah.
Character is something that has to be built over a period of time, and we have to know what we're building.
Yes.
And so endurance, both physical and psychological, is necessary. Certainly in farming it would be, but most businesses require hours that you're not really used to, and diligence. We have many proverbs that tell us about diligence. The man who is diligent in his business will stand before kings, not before mean men. But this diligence has to be understood by people, and you know, the hand of the diligent will bear rule. So we know that God places a high priority on diligence. Courage is another one. You know, sometimes it may look to people like it's not working, and yet if you've got all your ducks in a row, you've got your godly counselors, you've got your mentor, and just because you hit a flat spot, you do have the courage to go on because you're armed with all that knowledge, and your faith carries you through there.
Another problem that I notice in business is a lot of people hate sales. Why is that? Are people wimps? Is it that simple? People are just wimps?
You know, we're afraid of man instead of being afraid of God.
Right.
And, you know, if we really have a vision, you know, first of all, we need to have harmony in our home when we make a decision on that. And everybody needs to get behind Dad when he's going to do it. And Dad doesn't need to start a business and say this is something the wife and kids can do because he is afraid of sales or afraid of people or whatever. And we need to know that our business is going to provide something that people need that will help them. And then we shouldn't be afraid of them. We should be eager to talk to them. But, Kevin, if there's no sales, then there's no sense anybody making anything or having any services. Somebody's got to sell the service. You know, I started a welding shop where I believe I was... My motto was I could fix anything but a broken heart in the crack of dawn, because we just knew if it conducted electricity, we could weld it, and we guaranteed it. But we didn't know purchasing. We didn't understand receivables. There was so much about business we didn't understand that was one of those failures. I guess it wasn't a failure. It was a failure in that we just quit going because we weren't making any money. So, well, I just failed to show up one day, and it didn't make any difference in my income.
Yeah. How did you learn how to be a guy who could sell your product, your service?
Okay. There comes mentorship. There comes a system, a training system. And, Kevin, what I did was I had started, an auto parts store, a welding shop, a record business. We had a statewide record business in Alaska. And I didn't understand the sales and promotion end of my business, so we didn't do well at those. But when I finally got involved with some folks with a network marketing system that said, look, you don't have to quit your day job. You're already doing something. We'll teach you at night. We'll teach you with some CDs. Back in those days, it was cassette tapes. And some literature. We'll get you some books. And you can study on your own and grow as you want to and learn to sell. Learn to sell your idea, yourself. Well, I had to do some serious correcting in my own character in order to sell myself. I wasn't able to sell myself to the type of people I wanted to do business with. I didn't possess the right presence, the right countenance. And those things are learned, and so we studied those. So we kept the day job.
Yeah.
In fact, our day job was another business. We kept that business. It was running, and we went at night and got involved in this network marketing system where we got training, meeting after meeting, tape after tape, book after book, and then practice. We practiced. It didn't cost us anything to fail. So that way we didn't lose our shirt. We were doing this around the edges of our life, and yet, over a period of time, we began to learn more about business, and then that lack of knowledge void was filled in, and then we started making money, so the lack of money void was filled in, and the character for the journey was built in repeated exposure to people in our sales.
And I think that's key right there. A lot of people are wasting a lot of time printing up flyers and printing business cards, but you got to hand out your business cards. You got to go talk to people, and they're afraid of talking to people.
Yeah, it's really a strange thing, but the connection here between the Christian faith and business is that the Lord told us to go into all the world. Go talk to somebody. Go give them some hope. You know, give them a cheerful message. Lift them up a little bit. They're in the doldrums anyway, usually, and you can be a great minister to people if you just give them a little bit of hope and help them out. And that's the same thing in business. If you want to make some business happen, you know, if you want to start a welding shop, you don't have to know how to weld. You have to know how to get customers in the door, and you can hire a welder fresh out of school. He can do the welding, you can do the promotion, and you'll have a business. But that's some of the things that people don't want to do. If they do sheetrock or welding or computer programming, they want to do that end of it and think that's a business. No, that's a skill. But the business is a philosophy that you have to learn.
In order to get over this fear of people, what's the best way to handle it? Just start walking up to people and talk to them, I guess, huh? I mean, nothing like experience to train you in this area of meeting people and talking to them.
No, there's no substitute for what you just exactly spoke to the people, Kevin. And that is, I start my guys out that are working with me that are afraid of people, which is probably, 8 out of 10 anyway, are just scared to death of people, and they don't, I don't want to sell anything. What would they think of me? And I don't want to be rude. And I said, well, you know what? what would be wrong with going out to someone and just saying, hi, how you doing? And then they will say either hi, how you doing, or nothing. You know, if they get eye contact with them and you speak the same language, even if you don't, your facial expressions will cause a response from them, a positive response. And so as you do that, pretty soon you start introducing yourself. My name's Jeff Moore. You know, I live down the road here in Kaufman. Now, what about you? You pass it through or you live here? You know, we take it gradually, but really what it is it's repeated exposure of conquering fear. If we don't conquer our fears, they will hold us hostage forever. And a fear of people is the wrong thing to have if you're a Christian. You need to have a desire to help people, to know people, to fellowship with people, to lift them up, fill in the voids in their life, give them some knowledge. And that's all business is.
Perfect.
Filling the void for somebody.
Perfect love casts out fear. So if you're other-oriented, and that may be the key, we are so self-oriented, we are so self-protected, you know, we don't want to fail, we don't want to be rejected, we idolize ourselves so much, we don't love somebody enough to walk up to them and say, hey, how you doing, and give them a smile, and maybe, as you say, give them a little hope, or even a product that they might need or want.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, the hope that people have, Kevin, perfect love casteth out fear. That is true. And God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So where did we get that thing? How did we come by that spirit of fear? Well, it is by being self-oriented, self-centered. You're absolutely right. I could give you a success story of a man by the name of Larry Winters who was working in a car wash, him and his wife. And, of course, they weren't making any money. And somebody came along and said, hey, Larry, would you like to make some extra money? And he said, well, of course I would. You know, I'm always asking for a raise here at work. He said, well, this is something totally separate. It's a business, but you do it on the side. And so Larry started doing that. And you know how things go on a job. Pretty soon he wasn't working at the car wash. So he went and mowed lawns for a while, but he kept working this business just like I did. He kept listening to tapes, listening to these lectures that he went to on business and how it works and how to talk to people and how to answer their questions without offending them and how not to talk down to people. You know, a lot of times we get a little bit of knowledge and we talk down to people. It's a horrible mistake. We need to lift those people up and be very respectful when we're talking to them. Disdain is something that people recognize instantly.
Yeah.
And, boy, they run from it. So, but Larry kept doing this and doing this and doing this, and now his sales organization that he works with numbers nearly 40,000 people across the country. And, of course, he works through different guys who supervise this area and that area. And it's a wonderful situation to see a guy come from nowhere to somewhere. And I'll tell you, he has never backed off of his principles that we need to be totally subject to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do, in our marriage, in our business, in every word that we speak, so that we're not exaggerating when we talk to people to what our product will do. And sometimes we get to telling fish stories about the one I caught was this big, you know, and really, I guess we don't want people to think that there's little fish out there. We always make the fish be bigger. Well, we can't do that in business. You have to be very accurate in what you say, which I think God wants us to do. So there comes the Christian character into your business. And, you know, when you have God backing you, you're leading the life the way he's called you to lead it, that you know he's in control of everything that happens, and you submit yourself to him, and you really earnestly have an idea, a product, a service that will help somebody, and you've got a good word for them. If they don't need your product or whatever, that's fine. You still need to leave them with a good taste in their mouth. You can't help but succeed doing it. But this is where your mentor will come in and say, you know what, another book in this area. Try this one. You need that or you need this. Don't back off now. Push harder now. And when you've got that person that's standing on a different perch looking at you, they can see more of your situation than you can. You can only see it through your eyes. You can't see it through other eyes. And that's where that mentor comes in. And if you trust your mentor, you pray for your mentor, and God's guiding your mentor to guide you. It's much like praying for your pastor. I have to chuckle at people that pray for their pastor and then tell everybody everything they disagree with. The pastor's doing it.
Yeah.
They must think God either failed when he gave the pastor a message or something. But it's the same thing in business with your mentor. If your mentor is guiding you and you have a good trust relationship, which does take some time to build, then you just follow instructions. You'll be in good shape.
And I think the core message here today is that you've got to develop your character, and that doesn't come automatically, and for some reason it doesn't come in K-12 schools and colleges. They don't focus on character there, as far as I know. They just give you a loser education for the most part, and you're not really honed in your character over 18 years of education. Nobody ever took an interest in you, and and worked and worked and worked on your character in those K-12 schools and college. And so here you are out of college. Nobody at this point is really focused on your character, on your diligence, on your honesty, on the important things, on loving others, on your humility, your love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, you didn't have teachers walking up to you and say, you got a real pride issue here. You know, how's your self-control? How's your lust life going? You know, I never had a college professor ask about any of that. I never even had a seminary professor ask me any of that stuff because, you know, education doesn't focus on what's important, that is faith in the character of the people involved. So you got to, at some point, if you're going to succeed in entrepreneurism, you got to have somebody who's willing to mentor you in character.
Oh, that's exactly right. That was, wish I had a recording of that, Kevin. That was excellent. I would put that to my entire organization because that is really it. You see, this K-12 produces a consumer mindset.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is have a producer mindset.
Yeah.
We need to produce. In fact, profit, when you start looking at profit in a business, profit simply is what's left when you balance out what you've produced and what you've consumed. And if you consume more than you produce, there's a character flaw somewhere. We need to produce more than we consume so there's something left over so that we have that abundance. You can't help anybody else if you don't have an abundance. You can't do anything. You're basically neutered right there in society. And most of our Christian brothers and sisters out there have been totally static. We're not doing anything to produce, to take dominion. And I think that's what business owners do. I think God wants us to take dominion of the earth in every area of life so that we can put that godly character into each one of those areas and cover the earth with his children. We believe that's so important. And money can't drive you in that sense. When people tell me they want to go in business, I always ask them, why? What's your motive for going in business? Because if making money is your only motive, you probably will not succeed because you will end up with a greedy type mindset or a lustful type mindset. And we need to have a servant's attitude. And, you know, the servant will be lifted up. In fact, we hear this thing in business all the time. If you serve the king or the corporation or, you know, the big company, then you're just going to live with the masses. But if you serve the masses, and that's the key to it, if you serve the masses, they will lift you up so that you can live like a king or with the king or you'll be the corporation. So when we get the servant's attitude, we all have it, but we want to make sure we're not servants. You know, unless it's the Lord Jesus Christ, we serve that king, but we don't serve the corporation. We have to serve the people. And so rather than be subservient to a corporation, let's be subservient to our brothers and sisters. Let's help them somehow, some way that we've got to do that. And become a producer, become an active leader in our community. And business owners are leaders. They should be leaders.
Jeff, again, back to this issue of fear of failure. What kind of a character does it take to take failure properly? I mean, you're going to fail. Hey, every day you're going to fail. You're going to walk up to somebody and he's not going to want your product or service. You're going to find rejection. You're going to find failure. What is the proper attitude, the proper character trait you look in your prospective entrepreneurs in the area of handling failure?
Okay, that's an excellent question because failure is actually a teaching tool when it's understood properly.
Yeah, it's better than a $6,000 a semester college education.
Oh, and most assuredly, yes. It is something that will stick with you. And the more painful that particular failure was, although, you know, failure is a part of the process. You cannot take failure out of success. It's impossible for you to succeed until you've failed many, many times. And anybody that's ever played a musical instrument can attest to that. I failed over and over and over, so I knew what I had to fix. I knew what I had to practice on it. That's the same attitude we have to have in business. But we don't want to do anything risky. That's what your mentor will stop you from doing. Or if you fail, it wipes you out. We don't want that.
Right.
We want those little failures. And what they become is corrections. It's a sanctification process in our journey with the Lord. Well, it also isn't business. It purifies your business ethics and your business sense. And, you know, this business sense is, you know, first of all, Kevin, a lot of people have got a guilt thing about making any money anyway. Somehow we have developed a process of thinking in the Christian world that there's something wrong with profit, there's something wrong with desire, there's something wrong with wanting something more than we have. They have termed it lust, and that isn't necessarily true. Lust is wanting something that you shouldn't have or something that belongs to somebody else. And so we're forbidden to have those things. But, you know, to go out there and to develop something good that helps people, it has to create a profit or you can't succeed. So when you're working on this process and you fail, that should make you stronger. That resistance to success out there should strengthen you. you and give you the wisdom necessary. When we talk about people going to the school of hard knocks, that is exactly what we're talking about.
And it may be that you have to take it with humility. Okay, acknowledge, I failed. And instead of being proud about it, just receive the failure. I think that's the first step. Is like, okay, I failed. All right, done, I failed. What did I do wrong? How can I learn from this? I'm thinking it's a humility here.
Yes, it is a humility issue. It's a sobering thing to have a failure out there, and it's a pain. It should be a pain to you. So you're right. You research it. What did I do wrong? How could I have done that better? And we don't review it to wallow in the pain, but we do accept it as a teaching experience, and it's very humbling. And that humbling, that's what I say. You begin to deal with people with disdain if you have too much success. We talked earlier about my son and some of the success that he's had, and I said, John, you want to be careful that you don't begin to look at others with disdain because you've had some success, because that is a sure path to failure.
Yes.
And he trusts me, he believes that, and so he's staying very humble. In fact, sometimes when we succeed in business, we have to know that it is by the grace of God, because this machine out there that grinds up businesses has ground up most of them. Most businesses on the face of the planet that have started have failed.
Yes.
And so we're having success. It's by the grace of God, and then we keep looking for more wisdom. And that is in itself would keep us humble, knowing that it wasn't by our power that we did this anyway. It was by the help and assistance we received from our mentors. It was by the prayer, the dedication to the business, and it's by God's blessing. Because others who have, two farmers you talked about, Kevin, one plants 10 acres across the road from him, another guy in the same soil, the same rain, the same sun, he plants 10 acres. One is an active member of God's community, and he worships and praises with his brothers. He says his prayers in the morning. He does his devotionals. He does everything. The other guy plays pool and drinks down at the tavern and really thinks that it's his power, his wisdom, or he got something from the university that says this is better for the soil. And yet, when the crops come up, identical crops, one has 3 or 4 times higher yields than the other. How could that happen? Here's how it could happen. Because the blessing of the Lord also is a part of your success.
Yes.
And he addeth no sorrow with it. That means that creates that humility. I didn't do this by myself. And it should be an attitude of thankfulness always. First of all, that you have an opportunity to go in business. And then secondly, because you're experiencing some successes. In fact, I think we should be thankful, Kevin, even for the failures, because of the valuable teaching that they bring to the table.
Jeff, you've been at this now for 30, 40 years. You've really applied yourself to entrepreneurism, and God has blessed you over the years. You've been through the school of hard knocks many times. You've experienced many failures, and yet looking back, can you say God has blessed me and my family?
Yes, he has. In our failures, he's turned us from businesses that were leading nowhere. He turned us through those business failures back with a humble attitude, we better try this again, we better do something different. If we're looking for blessings in our life, they're not very far away. You don't have to look very far to see the blessings. We've been blessed with 7 children. We've been blessed with many friends. Your and my friendship, Kevin, has gone back years and years.
Yes.
You watched when we were first starting our network marketing business, and we had some success. Well, over the years, we've had tremendous success there. These are all blessings from God, and we are very thankful for them. We're thankful for the many things that didn't even look like they should come from business, like we expect always to make money from business. Well, you need money to eat and clothe yourself, there's no question about it. But it really is pretty low on the radar screen on your business when you start realizing that this business, and I don't care which business you're in, if you've got a sandwich shop down on the corner, that business is your ministry. That's how you're going to minister to that community. And you've got to apply all of these principles, and you've got to minister to your customers and come in that door and build those friendships and lift those people up. There is a responsibility with a business to be a good business to that community. I mean, we have to do something for that community that is valuable. They got to be glad we're there, or our business is not going to succeed. And that involves so many more things than just the cash exchange we do with people. Certainly there is that, and there must be a profit for it.
And there have been blessings for your family. I know that you have a very integrated family. You have a strong family. God has really, really blessed your family in this economic venture.
Yes, that is exactly right. Our children have learned the extra mile concept. They've learned these character qualities that they needed for the journey. And everything that they've done, they have succeeded at. Now, I'm not saying that when they started a venture that somebody just walked up and said, okay, here's your success. We'll give you the trophy or you the blue ribbon or you the whatever. That didn't happen that way. But what I mean by the character qualities necessary is when a barrier came up, they either knocked it down, went around it, went under it, jumped over it. They found some way to circumvent the obstacles because those obstacles are really necessary. So like lifting weights, if you don't have resistance, you will never gain any strength. In business, if you don't have obstacles, how would you know you succeeded? It's in negotiating the obstacles and getting past them, getting through them. That's how you succeed in business, by beating down the obstacles.
And you'd see that happen in the lives of your children. I know the fact that your children were integrated into this whole experience has been vitally important. And it's provided a family vision that continues to multiply. And you have a very fruitful family. And, of course, your son John has captured the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival award of $100,000 for the film that he produced last year, The Widow's Mite, which, by the way, is playing in theaters all across America here in the next few weeks. Just a tremendous family legacy that really was spawned out of an entrepreneurial family economic vision in the Moore household. And I commend you, brother, for what has happened. And I thank God for how he has blessed you and your family. Now, again, I want to recommend mentorship. I think this is very important, maybe the most important thing we've said in this program. Mentorship is vitally important, friends. If you're going to succeed in the area of business, in your own family economic venture. So I want to recommend mentorship, and I know Jeff has served as a mentor for hundreds and hundreds of others throughout the years. And Jeff, your contact info is Jeff Moore at ltdteam.com. And is it okay if people contact you?
It certainly is. We'd be happy to help anyone we can, Kevin.
Okay, again, that's Jeff Moore at ltdteam.com. Or you can call 214-802-5359. That's 214-802-5359 if you'd like to contact Jeff concerning some mentorship related to starting your own entrepreneurial endeavor. Again, Jeff, thank you for joining us today on Generations. We appreciate your wisdom. You bet. And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we do what we can to restore relationships in a lost and lonely age. And hopefully the reintegration of a family economic vision can help. It could be one of those incarnations whereby we can restore strong family relationships in families across America. And that's one of the goals of this radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can tune into this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. If you'd like to interact with the program, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.